interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
Welcome back, everybody.
Yay.
Yes. It's like we never left, but we have several times. Anyways.
And also we haven't.
At the same time. Figure that out while you listen. I'm Sammy.
I'm Erica.
And this is How To 911. Today, we are talking about some really cool things and also our first guest that's from our own agency. At the dispatch center. Like, that's so crazy that we've gone this far and not talked to one of our own coworkers. Weird. So, with us is Rachel Bondi. You might remember her from a post that we posted about when she got 2020 Trainer of the Year.
Yes.
That's just a little bit fun stuff real before we get started. She also is going to be one of our supervisors in the next couple of months.
Or a few months ago.
Well, okay, so she got the position. So she's, by the time this episode comes out, you'll probably already be a supervisor.
So, depending on when this is.
At this point, in a couple months, she'll be a supervisor. But definitely when you're listening, she'll be a supervisor.
Sure.
That's cool. So, Rachel.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be the first dispatcher interviewed, so I appreciate y'all asking me to join you.
Yeah, of course.
A little bit about me. I am born and raised in Michigan. Hardcore Detroit fan. So, Lions, Tigers, Red Wings, Michigan football. That's who I am. I went to school to be a teacher. So I started out in special ed and then transitioned to kindergarten, taught for 6 years, and I was a college athlete. So I played soccer at college, enjoy being active and doing fun things outside, and moved out here when I was 29. So I won't tell you how old I am now, but or how long I've been out here, so maybe you can't figure it out.
I was 29.
And since then I came out here, I am a dispatcher as well, as you guys know. Should I correct that? Timing-wise?
I am a supervisor.
Okay.
I was a dispatcher.
I am involved in peer support, background investigations I do, training. I'm also on the training team, so just try to be involved. I've done some other things like being on the awards committee and organized a Loveland softball team for the police department in the past. So just anything I can do to be involved, that's kind of a nutshell who I am.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I live in Fort Collins.
What made you move to Colorado from Michigan?
You know, I came out to visit in 2013, and I had never seen mountains before.
What?
I know. Michigan doesn't have mountains.
That's weird. I would have imagined they would have had something.
So, yes, well, we have trash hills, and that's where we go skiing. And so that's how I learned how to ski and snowboard, on trash hills that they turn into skiing venues in the wintertime.
Wait, like hills of trash?
Yeah.
Real trash?
Well, it turns into, you know, like land.
Okay.
So, but we call them trash hills.
Okay.
So there's a lot of little
weird
trash hills in Michigan that become skiing resorts. So
that's hilarious.
Came out here, and it was actually after, I don't know if you all remember the polar vortex word that came out.
Yes.
So polar vortex was like 2013-ish, and that was like the coldest snap ever, and it was like 3 weeks of negative temperatures in Michigan, and we were out of school when I was teaching for multiple days, so it was a pretty miserable winter, needless to say. So when I came out to visit, saw the sunshine, saw the mountains, was just about to turn 30, didn't have anything holding me back there, so I thought, if I'm going to do it, now's a good time.
Here you are.
Shipped out. Here I am.
Dang, that's so crazy.
I know. And I'm one of those people that would never, I don't like change, so I would never do that, so it was very shocking to a lot of my family, but I don't think I'll go back, so.
Please don't.
Yeah, so we need you here.
Yeah, so it's pretty incredible here. But I know it's hard for you guys, though, people that are natives, because we're, you know, infiltrating the system here in Colorado.
I mean, you did it before. It was, well, no.
So, yeah, I enjoy that. I enjoy making a better, there's been a lot of people, I think, that I know of that have had really bad experiences with calling 911. People just sort of either treated them poorly on the other side of the phone or were short with them. They got them off the phone quickly and didn't really take care of their needs. And so I try to change that dynamic.
Sure.
It's hard sometimes. We have to balance it because we've got a lot going on. We have to move on from things too. And something that may be a big deal to them, for us, you know, it's something that we deal with all day long. So it's finding that good balance of making sure that they feel like they're being cared for and taken care of. And okay, we got to go to the next call.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, there's six more people calling.
Exactly.
Love
Same
it.
Thing.
Yes.
So it's, you know, finding that good balance. But
yeah.
So that's, you know, what I enjoy
the most.
Yes.
So let's go to the least.
Ooh, yeah, the least favorite parts, I think for me, is just not being able to help people in their darkest moments. So like you said, you know, or like you said, like I said, you know, being their last person that they talk to before they pass away, or, you know, people that have found their siblings or children committing suicide or hanging, and you can't help them. You can't do anything. You can't give them rescue. You can't. You're just there until someone else arrives. So being with that person, I think, is very challenging, and it hurts your heart. It hurts, you know, a lot. Just feeling helpless, I think, when people go through major situations that you can't help. But yeah. So for me, that's the hardest part for sure.
I dig it.
So, and not knowing sometimes what happens. But luckily, a lot of people will let us know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is cool. Some of the user agencies will let us know what happened. But the child ones, I think, are the hardest for sure.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's kind of bounce back to what you said earlier.
Yes.
You were talking about how you were a part of peer support.
I am.
So why did you join peer support?
Well, are you familiar with peer support? Do you want me to explain what peer
support is? All about it.
Yeah. You know, peer support is a really cool organization that a lot of law enforcement have, and even more than just law enforcement. But it's kind of a group of people that are there to, you know, step in when things happen. You know, it's a confidential group. Something that I really like about it is there's rules of confidentiality that we have to follow. So legally, we cannot say things that you have talked about with us unless if it's certain parameters, like it's if you're suicidal, if there's child abuse that's involved in it, if there's certain things that your well-being is in, you know, harm's way or someone else is in harm's way very quickly, then we can advise our psychologist. But I love the confidentiality piece so people can feel like it's not going to go anywhere besides what you say.
Mm-hmm.
It legally, you can't say that. So other than that, you know, for us, it's checking in with people. It's people that have had tough calls, people that have, you know, been on scene of tough calls. But that's kind of what people think surface-wise that we do. But we're really behind the scenes. So it's someone that has, well, maybe they're one of their family members has passed away. Maybe they've been in the hospital. A family member's been in the hospital. So we're taking care of trying to get people set up to cut their grass, to deliver meals, to take care of childcare purposes, you know, things that people don't think about, taking care of their dogs. Like, you know, when your parent or somebody has passed away, you don't want to have to figure out, well, who's going to take care of my dogs? Who's going to take care of my cat? How am I going to get my mail? Like that's why we're here. We're here to go to the hospital. We go to wherever we're needed, and then we set up those type of things. So people have no clue behind the scenes, you know, what we do, which is good because you want it to be confidential.
Right.
So, but it's very different than just the surface people think. We just check in, like we text people or call them just to say, hey, how are you doing after this call? But it goes way farther than that. So, you know, we can set up, you know, rides to school for the kids that if something's going on, or, you know, when there's incidents here and we have, you know, spouses come in with kids, we take the kids and get them, you know, happy meals and just take care of them so the parents just don't have to worry about that for a couple hours, you know. So just really trying to be that support system for them in times of need and big events that happen in their life. So that's a little bit, about peer support per se. So we meet monthly. We try to always do training every month too. So we'll kind of talk in the beginning and then our psychologist will do training for us. So different, every month is different on what we're training on. And recently it's been, you know, the fires that we've been talking about, and COVID has been huge, obviously, how to support people during COVID. So, there's just different things that it's really nice just to be able to help people through different events in their life. So, and we do good things too, the birth of a baby, you know, anything like good that happens too, we check on people. And because there's a lot of emotions that can come with no matter what type of, you know, if they have a baby, well, now their dynamic has changed. You know, if it's just two people, then how is your, you know, relationship with your spouse now versus, you know, before? And do you need to talk to anybody? How are we doing after the birth and stuff? So,
yeah,
you know, just checking in on people.
Yeah. So why did you get into it?
You know, for me, I've always been somebody that just enjoys, I've always been kind of a caretaker. So I've always enjoyed taking care of people, even when I was younger. And when I first got here, in the first couple of years, like it's just kind of who I am, just to reach out to people, see how they're doing. And so a couple of people kind of picked up on that, and just there was a posting, and they reached out to me and said, "Hey, peer support's opening up. I think you'd be really good for it." I didn't really know anything about it, so I kind of talked to some people, and it sounded kind of right up my alley. So, I do enjoy, you know, helping people, making sure that they're taken care of, and in some hard times. So I think for us, you know, and we just had another dispatcher that joined us as well. It's hard because for us, you want to be checked on during, you know, obviously heart incidents, but I would do that anyways, regardless of being on peer support. Mm-hmm. So I think the line gets kind of fuzzy with dispatch, and people may not feel that peer support is checking in on them when I have, you know, volunteered to check on dispatch, because I'm not saying, hey, as a peer support member, how are you doing after this call? Because I care about them as a person, you know, so I'm always like, hey, heard you took a hard call, you know, how are you feeling? Do you want to talk about anything? So to them, it's just me being who I am and, you know, part of dispatch, where, so it doesn't feel like peer support is really checking on them. So it's kind of a fine line for us to be like, we are peer support too, but we also, you know, do care. Mm-hmm. Really defining those roles. So for me, I'm going to really try to step out of the dispatch realm too and really check on officers. You know, in the beginning it was easy because I'm in dispatch. I can check on dispatch. Super easy for us. We have those relationships built, but I want to cross over that line a little bit more to officers. And, you know, I don't really get to see them very often. So, you know, building that connection too.
Yeah.
So that's a goal for me this year coming up, is to reach over the dispatch line.
Can you still be peer support being a supervisor?
You can, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I talked to Sergeant Johnson about that because he is also a sergeant. He is also in charge of, you know, personnel, mm-hmm. and he's on peer support. So he's got three different roles kind of,
yeah.
you know, for that. It's really defining your role and your expectations when you talk to somebody is, okay, are we talking under the peer support guidelines? Because there's guidelines, confidentiality. Are we talking as a supervisor? Are we talking as a friend? Like, where are we at in this realm?
Right.
So just really communicating and being honest and open about that. So that way, you know, nothing is going against the guidelines or, well, I thought I was talking to you in confidentiality and peer support, and then you went and had to tell some. Well, that can be all be avoided if we're communicative about it and we, you know, hold that up front. So with my people, I'll definitely have to draw those lines and just make sure I'm, you know, expressing which role I'm in, which role that they're in. So, yeah.
Perfect.
But I'll learn, you know.
Yeah.
I'll learn as I go. So.
Yeah.
That is peer support.
That is peer support. You mm-hmm. also talked about how you are a trainer. How long have you been a trainer?
Yeah, 4 years now.
That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. I'll be here 6 years in February. So, and then 4 years training.
Mm-hmm. What do you do as a CTO?
So me, my role, are you, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Who I am as a CTO?
No, like what does a CTO do? What does a trainer do? What does a communications training officer do?
Yeah, well, I would love to tell you. And how come you're asking all the questions? When
because,
does Erica pop
I don't
in?
Know. Erica, do you want to
no, I feel like
question?
I keep looking at you because you're asking the questions, so I want to make
Sammy
sure.
Sammy has her, sometimes Sammy asks all the questions, sometimes I ask all the questions.
Okay.
Sometimes
I'll stop asking questions.
No, because you have your own, like.
Well, feel free to switch if you need to, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it's like all in your head, you know, you're like, I got, like, I have a flow.
Yeah. And the segues and all that. It's
yeah.
Still,
okay.
Don't have a,
like,
sure.
She mentioned this. I'm going to follow up with this. Mm, and I'll pop in when I have questions.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, okay, that Sammy wasn't hogging this. So
I do
really
that
my,
quite often.
Yeah. That was my concern
it's
here.
It's Sammy's podcast.
Oh, it's
like,
not, oh,
my
okay.
podcast.
It's not my podcast.
She's just your sidekick.
No.
Okay. So as a CTO, we train all of the new hires to be a dispatcher. So training for us is about 6 months, give or take a little bit. You can always finish early. You can always be extended a little bit if you need to. So for us, it's an incredibly difficult job. It's amazing if people can get out in 6 months because there's just so much to learn. So that's pretty much what a CTO does. For me personally, I train in phones and fire, train in our TAC-3 and data channel and our fire, I'm sorry, our PD channel as well. But then I usually start, myself and someone else usually start off in the beginning with orientation. So we take the new hires for a week. We teach them all about the ins and outs of dispatch, the systems, the radios, the phones, the greetings that we do. We give them tours, just introduce them to everything that is dispatch. So great
beautiful.
Weather and beautiful scenery. So
yeah,
hard
but
to
also
make.
Don't come here.
Yes, for Sammy, stay away.
Go to Denver.
Because it gets busy. Yes. So that is the hard part.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
No.
Derailing. Talked about what brought you to Colorado.
Yes.
What brings you to Loveland Police Department specifically?
Yeah, you know, when I moved out here, I had a hard time getting a job. Mm-hmm. I have my master's teaching. I wanted to take a little bit of a break from teaching. So I was just kind of looking around, and I was having just a hard time even getting interviewed. I don't know. I mean, I would look at REI, even just like Target, just as something to supplement me, and I was not getting interviews, so it was kind of crazy. Yeah, but I'd always done some customer service stuff in college. I worked at a hotel and had always really been interested in the law enforcement aspect. My stepdad was a former deputy chief in my hometown, and I've always loved Dateline. So just some things that I enjoy. So I saw the posting for a dispatcher and, you know, didn't know much about it. Was like, I can answer phones. Like, that's, yeah no big deal.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. You know, did some research on it, watched some videos. I saw the call with Halle Berry, right?
Oh, gosh.
It's very similar to that.
Yes, 100%.
So, interviewed for it, got the job, and, you know, I've kind of been here ever since. So just kind of have fallen in love with it and really enjoy it. But it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And, you know, being a teacher of kids with special needs and getting my master's and all that stuff, this is way harder. So. Hmm.
Yeah,
but it's also the most rewarding as well. So,
I dig it.
Yeah. So that's why, Loveland. So that's why I'm here.
Did you play anywhere else? Like any other agencies?
No, not for this stuff. Okay. Yeah. But.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like your job?
I do. Yeah. Yes, I do like my job.
What are your favorite parts and least favorite parts?
Yeah, for me, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. the thing I love the most, I always tell people, is just the day is so unpredictable.
Right.
So, you know, you go from, you know, taking a barking dog to a child that's not breathing to a fire to, you know, accidents. You just never know what you're going to get. And there's always room for improvement and growing and, you know, making sure you take better calls. For me too, it's not lost on me that a lot of people don't call 911 very often, and I take that very serious. So they can call maybe once or twice in their life, and it's our job to make them feel heard and make them realize that someone does care and they're taking care of their needs, because it could be the worst day of their entire life. They just saw their parent pass away or their child's not breathing. So that's a huge responsibility that I take seriously and try to, you know, pass on to people that I train as well. You know, we could be the last people that they're talking to before they pass away. You know, there is an open line. You're just being calm for them and, you know, creating a sense of you're not alone before they pass away. We could be the first one to hear a baby cry when the baby comes into the world. Mm-hmm. So, and everything in between, if, you know, it's just, there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of adrenaline that goes up and down. But, at the end of the day too, our team is incredible. When we have major events that happen, it's pretty amazing to see how well we all come together, and really it's just to get the job done and see how we can help people. So it's very unpredictable. So myself and someone else, just we do an orientation that basically goes over every single aspect of dispatching in a week, and then we slow it down and do it piece by piece just so that you kind of know what you're getting into a little bit. So that's my role necessarily at this point.
Training, where do you start with training? You said orientation, but then where do you go from there?
So from there, we start with phone, fire, and EMS, and that is about 12 weeks of training. So usually the first couple weeks, they are watching and observing we call them CTO, the certified training officer, or dispatcher. So you're watching, and then we slowly start integrating them. Maybe they'll start typing into a non-emergent call. Maybe they'll start answering the non-emergent phone line, typing on 911s while we're talking. So it's just a very slow progression to try to get them to where they are now independently answering the phone, typing at the same time. Adding in radio. Radio for us is a little bit different now because we just went to automatic dispatching. Not sure if you've talked about that with your other
It's so new.
Podcast, So it'll be different because we have to teach them not only the automatic dispatching part, but also if that's not working, we need to go back old school, which is manually dispatching. So this time around, with these new hires starting soon, we're going to be teaching a lot more than we ever have had to. So there's a lot. A lot. And we're updating our training manuals and just trying to make sure that we are on top of our, you know, everything we need to for these next ones that are coming in. So, yes, good training questions right there.
Great training questions. Do you have any training questions?
I don't.
Do you have anything that you want to add as a trainer?
No.
Okay.
She agrees. Yeah. It's a hard process. It's hard for trainers. It's hard for trainees. You know, for us, we're usually with a trainee for probably anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks at a time, which may not seem like a long time, but it is an extremely long time when you're with someone for 10 hours a day. And, you know, they're, you know, teaching them, and, you know, you have different personalities, but you're really just trying to focus on them and their needs. And as adult learners, for me, it was very different because I'm used to children. So adult learners, and we have all different types of adult learners. You know, some are more visual, some are more hands-on, some are more verbal. And so just trying to find and really being open to changing my ways to suit each trainee versus the opposite. I don't want them to change to fit me. So really just trying to be, you know, with the other trainers, being on the same page with them and making sure that someone doesn't feel like each trainer that they go to, they have to change their whole because that's really difficult. Yeah. So that's what we're all trying to do as trainers, is just trying to be, you know, have that continuity.
Yeah.
And not make it harder.
Right. Set that person up for success.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, it's important to say that we also, like, switch trainers during the training process. Why does that happen?
Well, for one, so we don't burn out.
Yeah.
But for two, you know, it's fun to get different views of what are different, you know, aspects of how someone does the job. We all do it a little bit differently. Granted, we all have the basics down, and we, you know, we still send the calls the same. We still code them the same. But, you know, maybe I put in someone's first name first versus going to, you know, notes or whatever it is. But there's all different ways of how we do them. And so it's nice to see different trainers, how they dispatch and how they take phone calls and how they talk to people.
Yeah.
And really, as a trainee, at the end of your time, you're kind of just picking up little things from each trainer of what you liked and what worked well for you. And then moving on. So, but it is also important to have, you know, relationships with other trainers, to have that break between trainers. Again, we all have, some of us take vacations, you know, at different times. So obviously if I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, the trainee, you don't want to just have them, you know, hang out.
They are also on vacation.
Yeah,
for
right. Oh, you have to take a vacation now. So, you know, there's different, people are sick, different things come up, but, you know, we don't want to burn out people too at the same time. So it's trying to just change it up a little bit.
Right. And also change it, like, shifts. Because, like, some people will be on days, some people will be on nights. So, like, getting you used to the shift work as a trainee, that's fun.
And
that's
the different call types on those different shifts.
Yeah.
It's usually the first time that people have ever worked nights is when they come and start training. So,
yeah.
It's a fun process to go through with them when you're training.
Yeah. Poor Erica was stuck with me a lot.
I know.
I feel like I spent 75% of my training with you.
Really? I think the other 25 you were with me.
So. Yeah. I, like,
is
and
that
I, like,
the issues with her?
Yeah,
that's it.
I had, like, a week with Renee and a week with Laura, and then I was just,
right.
I don't know what Carmen was thinking. Anyways, so let's go back to the background investigator. I know that you're kind of new to it, but it sounds really interesting, and we all had to go through background checks to get here.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
I mean, what, you know.
Tell us about the other side of it.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't know about you guys, when I first, you know, got hired and they sent all the paperwork and I, you know, it took me hours to fill out the personal history statement. I'm like, I thought I was applying for the FBI. Like, I mean, literally, you guys felt the same. I mean, they're like, we're going to fly back to Michigan. We're going to interview your parents, interview your old principal that you were teaching at, your apartment buildings. I mean, it was like, what am I getting into? You know, I'm like, I thought I was just being a dispatcher. I don't know what this is. But, you know, for backgrounds and for people, the Loveland Police Department really wants to hire the best of the best. I mean, there's, you know, only so many spots, and there are a ton of people out there. And so when you have that many options, you really want to make sure you're getting, you know, somebody that's honest, somebody that's responsible, someone that's trustworthy. There's a lot of confidentiality that goes into this. So for me, I was really excited to have, they just opened it up to civilians probably about 2 years ago to be background investigators. So just really, again, I love Dateline. So I love, like, getting the information and, you know, looking for discrepancies and those type of things. And I always love writing reports. Being a teacher, I'm very organized, very structured. I like to check for spelling and grammar and just write reports and stuff, which is weird. But so for that stuff, it's kind of nice because you get all this information and then you're just kind of checking, balancing. Like for me, it's I'm not trying to, like, dig and find the, you know, people think that you're just, like, trying to get them to fail out, you know, and that's not what it is. It's just making sure things line up with what they're saying. So you're interviewing family members, you're interviewing past employees, you're interviewing past coworkers, roommates. You know, if they've told us that, yes, I've had 3 speeding tickets, I go and see in their file that they've had 15 speeding tickets. There's a bit of a discrepancy there. And that's a conversation that we need to have. You know, why are you not telling me the rest of this? What's actually the real story here? So, you know, our chief and our, you know, just the police department in general, we don't want, I don't think there's such a thing as perfect people. People that have, I mean, of course, there's people that have made really clean records or whatnot, but for him, it's more, yes, we've all made stupid mistakes when we're younger, but have you grown? So show us and tell us what you have done to change, you know, whether or not since you've been in many accidents, your speeding tickets, those type of things, or, you know, yes, when I was younger, you know, maybe I snuck out of the house a couple times when I was 16, but, you know, you're 16, now you're 35 applying for a job. Like, we're not going to hold it against you that you snuck out of the house when you were 16. So,
dang it.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's really just check and balance. So you, in a background investigation, there's so many steps to it. So you fill out your personal history statement. You get assigned a background investigator. So that's myself or others. And then you're also doing a psychological test. You are doing a drug test. You are also doing a polygraph exam. So there's just many different avenues for us to check against what you have said. So we interview, like I said, significant others, family members and things. So I'm looking at every single thing and just making sure it matches up to what she has given me. So the one thing I always just tell people is just be honest. You know, he just wants to see that, he being the chief, you know, that you admit your mistakes. You grow from them. You realize, you know, even if you're in debt, maybe you had credit card debt, you know, but now you have a plan, like I'm paying $200 a month, each month, here's my plan. So you're showing us, okay, this is how you're going to get out of debt. That's what we want to see, people that are growing and they're learning from their mistakes. So that speaks volumes for who your character is versus, you know, someone that's going to lie to you and then it comes out later on. But, so yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but, you know, I enjoy that stuff. And you're just trying to get as much info as possible. And it's amazing, you know, how much stuff we can actually find out. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. But
thank you for asking.
Yeah. So official.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
I know.
Oh, you want me to? Okay, what does dispatch do well?
Tag team. Yeah.
I'm trying to not hog the air.
I know.
You can hog the air.
Goodness. You know, for me, I think everybody kind of thinks different stuff. For us, we don't stop at anything to get information. So, I mean, we are our own little background investigators to ourselves. So, you know, in terms of if we get a call and it's an open line, it sounds like someone's screaming, like we will do everything in our power to find out where that person is and try to get them help. We're looking at names, phone numbers, date of birth, you know, previous records, anything that we can to, you know, we call other agencies. Hey, do you have this phone number in your system? Where does it belong? We try to be one step ahead of the officers for safety reasons, obviously, and just because that's what we're good at and what we like to do. If we know that they're walking into, you know, a house that someone has four felony warrants, that's something good for them to know before they walk in. They may be running. They may have weapons. You know, if we can get that information to the officers before, they're just, it's just way safer, I think, for them to have that information. So we really work well together. You know, when push comes to shove, especially when huge incidents happen, people are very selfless and they, you know, give up and they come in and, you know, they work the overtime and they get the job done. So it's fun to watch us all, you know, when we have to come together to work a major event. It could be a huge car accident, it could be a fire, you know, like when you guys had the flood. I wasn't here for that, but I still hear stories from the flood. 12-hour shifts, and you just grind it out. You know, you just get done what you have to get done. Mm-hmm. So everybody has lives outside of here, and, you know, for the most part, everybody can come in and leave that stuff at the door and get the job done and really help people. So obviously we're all human, and sometimes we have days that are tough, but we do a pretty good job of, you know, looking past that.
Yeah.
So sweet. What do you guys think dispatch does best?
I just think we work well together.
Yeah.
I think we understand what we need from each other work-wise and then can work pretty seamlessly together like that. And then depending on what else you need, people are really giving of themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you need stuff outside of work.
Yeah.
I think for me, just because I came from a different agency, this center is so good at just, like, we've all said, working well together. Like, when I first started, it's like, I didn't get the sarcastic remarks when I asked a question. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, you should know that already. It's like, oh, I probably do, but I'm just asking again because I'm unsure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's very welcoming and willing to help. And I really appreciate that about everybody here. That's what we do well. Mm-hmm. Very helpful.
I think that goes to show, like, how we can attracts the right people to fit into that culture with us.
Yeah, totally.
And that's why backgrounds are important.
Yes.
Because you want to make sure you get the right people in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, we all have different personalities. That one thing I think is really cool, we all come from crazy different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really fun to hear about. I mean, anything from bank to teaching, you know, to graphic design to medical, you know, it's just like, someone worked at Butterball. So,
and we're all here.
And how do we come together with all of these different personalities, all these different traits, strengths, weaknesses, and how do we, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's fun to learn about each other too and what makes each other tick and what makes each other, to be able to work so seamlessly. So,
I think that makes us really because we're dispatchers and we're just always listening, always observing, so, like, we really learned, like, little tidbits about our partners, like, how they work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, I know Rachel likes it better when something like this. And
when you change the paper towel roll.
Yeah.
And yeah. You go that way over.
So, like, yes. You learn how to, like, work with certain people and what to do with certain people. And it's like, some people prefer to just answer the phone. Some people prefer if you put in the notes this way, you know, you try to, like, shape yourself depending on who you're working with to make it easier for everybody. Mm-hmm.
We know which smells are tough on for people. Right? We know which food.
Like, hey, if I cook this, is anyone gonna be offended?
Yes, it's a very small environment.
It is.
We have to, you know,
super small.
Cater to some, you know, some of us. No names mentioned. Myself, maybe a little more sensitive to smells.
Yeah. What could we work on?
You know, it's. I was trying to think about this and. For us, I think, again, I don't think there's any areas that we need huge improvements on by any means, but I think for all of us, and Eric, I know you've talked about this, just, on some of your articles that you've written too, but really just coming in each day and remembering why we're here and what we're here to do. Again, like I said, we all have private lives. We all have, you know, stuff that happens outside on the way to work that comes in, but really just being able to look at what our goal is here is to be there for people and to help people. And there are days when you're just stressed to the max and, you know, you have the people that are calling over and over and over again for things, again, to us that may be little, but to them it is the biggest deal for, you know, maybe it's a dog barking and maybe they have PTSD and it reminds them of being overseas or, you know, so for them, they're hiding in their home upset about this dog, where to us, in the grand scheme of things, a barking dog is very different from a major traffic accident or a fire or, but then taking each one of those calls, you know, seriously, because we never know what people are going through each day. So, and for us, really just cleaning our mind and our mental, you know, state when we walk in here and taking time when we need to, getting off the console if we need to, go for a walk, or, you know, if we take a bad call and just being honest with people and saying, hey, I'm struggling a little bit today, but, you know, we each help each other out, we pick each other up, we take care of each other when, you know, we had one of our people come back this week after being off for a little while, and so, you know, all of us that work with her were just like, take the first couple hours and just reintegrate, you know. Take your time. We just want you to be successful. So, you know, really just being there for each other. So remembering why are we here when you come in the door every day? Because it's easy to get caught up in all the life stuff that's going on for us.
Yeah.
We've got 10 hours, maybe 12, 16, depending on what you're working.
Yeah.
But, you know, really just trying to focus on that stuff. Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned, like, taking care of yourself and taking a walk and stuff and, you know, and, like, the mental health stuff. So how do you take care of yourself outside of work?
That's a great question.
Sorry, it's not on.
No, I loved it. No, it was a perfect segue, though. For me, like I said, I was a college athlete. I love to be active, so I do go to the gym multiple times a week. I love naps. So for me, it's something I've always done my whole life. When I was in middle school, my dad was like, something is wrong with you. Like, I was like, no, I just love to sleep. So for me, it's kind of an escape. Naps are. They just, you know, I feel good when I wake up. So, you know, I just making sure I get enough sleep. I eat decently well during the weekdays, at least when I'm here, you know, and I eat the same thing every day just because of who I am. So, but yeah, so eating well, getting enough sleep, working out, you know, doing things that I enjoy, watching TV and some shows that I like, Married at First Sight.
Dateline.
Some trashy shows that I don't have to think about, you know, guilty pleasures.
Yes.
But I really can, I had surgery recently, so I wasn't able to work out for about 4 months, and I can tell a huge difference mentally now that I've just started back in the gym. So it really makes it easier to sleep, to come to work, to deal with the things that you do at work, by just getting your body moving a little bit, so.
That's good to be self-aware of what you know will work for you, and when it is taken away from you, how it can affect you.
Yeah.
And so to make sure you're able to find something that works for you, whether it's just napping or exercising and napping or going for a walk or reading or whatever.
And it takes a while to learn that stuff. You know, for me, it's, you know, my mom too has depressive side to her. And if I'm in the house for multiple days, then I get to that point where I can just stay in the house forever. So I know that I have to get out of the house. I have to get dressed. I have to do things. If it's more than 2-3 days, it's like, okay, you can feel it mentally. And it's like just getting out, doing something just to make sure you're taking care of yourself. But some people can do it and they're fine. But I have that in me that I need to make sure I'm getting up and doing something. Or else, too many days I'm not doing that. So being aware, being self-aware is huge. But it's hard. It takes a while to understand that.
Right. But, well.
Good questions. Thank you, Erica, for that.
Erica's got the good ones. Like the last question.
Yeah. Like, what do you want the public to know about LPD and dispatch?
You know, for us, and I think a lot of places are like this, is, I mean, truly, and it may sound cliche, but we are here to help. So a lot of people will say, I'm so sorry that I called. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do not be sorry. Like, I hear you guys say that all the time on the phone, too. People apologize all the time. Like, I'm so sorry I'm calling 911. I'm really sick. I'm so sorry. They're throwing up and they're apologizing for throwing up. You're like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, it's really sad when they apologize, but it's like, that's what we're here for. Like, call. We are public servers. You know, like, we're here to serve you. You know, for me, it's big, and people don't understand why we ask the questions that we ask, and they get very frustrated with us in moments of heat and when they're, you know, an example I always like to tell people is, I can't tell you how many times when someone's in a crisis and you ask them for their address and they flip their numbers. You know, it's 1143, well, their address is actually 1134. And they are just in such crisis that they just zip it out. And so we always have to ask for the address twice. It's just part of our system. And usually they get pretty upset the second time around, but then they have flipped their number again back to what it really is. And so then you're like, okay, wait, is it 1143 or 1134? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, no, wait, it's 11, you know, because we're checking in with our system. So there's always reasons behind asking those questions. And so I just wish people would know, you know, we're not delaying your help. We're just really making sure that we get you the right help and to the right location.
Right.
So I always try to tell people that, like, tell your friends, just so you know, and it may seem like we're, you know, super busy and rushing to try to get you off the phone and stuff, but, you know, there's just so much going on, and, you know, we really do try to take the time that we can with each person, but at the same time, we have to keep moving, you know, and people will follow up with you as a caller, and we really, truly, truly care. So we have an incredible department of men and women that have gone through an incredible background investigation to get the right people in this place. And we're always learning. We're always growing. COVID has changed things for us. We've had to keep, we get new systems. We get new technology to always, you know, try to increase our ability to help people quicker. So we're always learning. So, you know, thanks for being patient with us too, as our systems are changing, and, you know, we're just here to help. So don't apologize for calling.
Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No. Thanks for having this platform.
Yeah.
To get this, you know, the word out. And
thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And I think you're educating a lot of people to what we do. So it's hard to know unless you know.
Right.
That's right.
So now you know.
This is a way to know.
This is it.
So thanks for having me. I appreciate being the first person to, you know, come and chat with you guys.
Yeah.
So
much fun. So thank you everybody for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to get the latest on our episodes. Also follow us on Facebook at Loveland Emergency Communication Center. Follow us on Instagram, How To 911 Podcast. If you have any questions for Erica, I, or Rachel, I don't think that sentence was grammatically correct, but you can email us at howto911@cityofloveland.org. And then next time, I don't know what we're going to be talking about, because I don't know when this is coming out, but just pay attention and look out for next time.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened.